project and program pipeline has been streamlined with available funds, and that has resulted in the ability to do that. Then the processing of rezoning the land acquired with no development rights. Chair, there is a joint coordinating committee on land. This is on slide 5, and that's now active. And it's important to note, Chair, it includes transport, COFTA, public enterprises, rural development and land reform, as well as public works being members. Chair, and I think it's just important to note that agreement has been reached between ourselves, as well as public works, rural development and land reform, as well as public enterprises, that all state-owned land, that's provincial and municipal, will be transferred to the HDA, and there will be, and that will then be utilized for human settlements and housing purposes. Chair, we've put pressure on the HDA, so it's not only about acquiring the land, but it's also about the rezoning, because that's the important aspect in relation to that. So that target will see a change. And in our outcome 8 report, it is reflected. Chair, then on page 6, I think one of the things that we have focused on, and it will probably be reflected in our audit, is the improved governance, particularly in relation to statutory prescripts that have been complied with, and these include, Chair, the improvement plan for MPAT, that's the monitoring performance and instituted by the presidency, has been implemented. Chair, at the time the presentation was submitted, just after that we received the results. Chair, I can indicate that we've improved, and we can present that there. Chair, the financial statements have been prepared and submitted on time, so that's been done, particularly not only in terms of the compliance for this period, but also on a quarterly basis by the CFO. There's been reporting to National Treasury on payments within 30 days in terms of Section 44 of the PFMA, and we've accepted the criticism around that, and there's been a substantial amount of change in relation to that. One of the things that's outside of our control is particularly within provinces where there's outstanding payments for more than 30 days. And there's three culprits in relation to that. It's Gauteng, the Eastern Cape, and the Free State in relation to that. We've submitted the estimates of national expenditure of database and chapters in terms of 26 and 27 of the PFMA. And then we have an approved human resource plan which is being implemented. And this includes the commencement of the process of filling of vacant positions. So, Chair, if you you note that either through the public service vacancy that have been published, we've done that. So those vacancies are being filled, and that includes 7 at the SMS level. Then in relation to legislation, Chair, the home loan and mortgage disclosure bill was published for public comment. The prevention of illegal evictions bill is in the process of sector consultation, and particularly that's with rural development and land reform. The housing consumer protection bill, which is commonly referred to as the NHBRC, there's one or two chapters there that we are in the process of amending. And then the draft Human Settlement Development Bank Bill has been finalized. And then of particular importance is point E on slide 7, which is the Property Practitioners Bill, Chair, which has been published for comment. And the consultation processes will commence on that. And then obviously, Chair, a departmental communication program that profiles the work of the department and the sector has been implemented. In relation to the establishment of the bank, the Human Settlements Development Bank, the reconstitution of the board of the NHSC has been approved. And as indicated previously, this includes representatives of the NERSA and NHFC. And Chair, you'll know that the bank was formally launched on Friday by Minister. Chair, it's important to note all the required legal, governance and regulatory approvals are in place for the operational integration. And we particularly, I think, of importance is that we've done that within all the statutory, regulatory and legislative compliance. So the delays there are unfortunate, but at least we have an operational integration. Policy and support, Chair, just to indicate that one of the big bugbears that we are in the process of resolving, and Minister has, together with GPME, set up a ministerial secretariat which will undertake a policy and legislative review, and one of the priority areas of that is the finalization of the white paper that is still in draft form. Chair, on page 10, and this is an issue, and I suppose through yourself together with members, Chair, the draft backyard rental policy has been consulted upon, and we will submit that to Minister, and upon Minister approving that, we can bring that to the table, to table it before this committee. The same goes with the USDG policy, which has been finalized, and we are waiting tabling in Cabinet on that, and we can then bring that here. Chair, then also of importance is the social and rental housing income bands and grant have been revised, and they are in the process of being approved and applied in conjunction with the Shire Council. Chair, then on the slides post slide 10, Chair, we just give an indication, and I just need to indicate these are the preliminary delivery performances, and they're subject to audit. And Chair, what we've done is that you'll see that these are the key deliverables that are in the annual performance plan and the quarterly performance. So for, just to make it a lot more easier and a lot more sort of ability to for us to be held accountable, we give the annual target, we give the quarter four target, we give the quarter four actual performance, and then the overall performance for the APP for this financial year, and then we allocate that in relation to the MTSF delivery. Chair, I just want to comment on one point in these slides, and Chair, that is on the last column, which is the MTSF delivery. Chair, we are in the process of revising the USDG figure there. So you'll see that 103,560. That USDG figure will be revised because in some of the instances they were not accounted for, or there was incorrect allocation of the figures. So in relation to the housing opportunities, the consolidated figure that Minister refers to, or we always refer to as the department, that figure will change because the last three financial years, the last three USDG units produced in some of service stands were not included in that figure. So it will change a bit on that one. Chair, that's the indication of on slide 12. You'll see the title deeds. Of concern, I think, and I think it's just the one thing that we did a calculation, and these figures, Chair, we can produce them, is that, and I think Minister referred to this in the budget speech, is of concern is that between 2014 and now, we'll come back to you on the figure, but the figure preliminary stands at 132,000 additional. There's an additional 132,000 that has been added to the existing title deeds backlog, which means that the provinces are accumulating or now starting again to accumulate a backlog in relation to title deeds. Unfortunately, Chair, the best performing title deeds provinces in the room, that's the Northern Cape. Chair, Then we, on slide 13 and following, we give the partially achieved targets for quarter four, and particularly in relation to what the percentages are. We've taken that, and that's calculated on the basis of what was achieved against the overall target. Chair, then on slide 15, it just gives you an indication of what the percentage is. So the overall performance stands at 50, and then partially achieved is 35, and we're hoping that a huge portion of the yellow will turn to green once we consolidate in order of performance. The expenditure report, Chair, in terms of the consolidator, and this is on slide 17, Chair, this is all subject to audit. So in terms of the four programs, the department sits at 99.6%. The program that has experienced a substantial amount of difficulty is program delivery support, which in terms of the budget allocated sits at 69.7% or 70%. And the big factor here, Chair, has been the inability of this unit to expend the monies in relation to NUSP. And that's where the big variance or resultant poor performance in terms of expenditure. Chair, the following slide just give an indication, and you'll see it gives an indication, and it just basically indicates where, particularly in relation to program delivery support, where that 69% or that 70% and where the balance of that 30% has been in relation to that. Chair, the next slide is the transfer payments, and you'll see for we've managed through the department, we've managed to effect 100% of our transfer payments, and that's on slide 19. Chair, then the Human Settlements Development Grant. Chair, I hope this slide's not too busy in terms of the color, but we thought we'd make it a little more reader friendly. So the provinces that have experienced under expenditure is in red, so that's Gauteng, 43 million, Limpopo 85, and then the largest amount for this financial year is Northwest, which is 200 million. And then Mpumalanga together with the Northern Cape in relation to 11 and 6 million respectively. So the total unspent amount for this financial year in terms of transfers for the Human Settlements Development Grant is 353 million. Chair, the analysis of expenditure, and then we go to each of the provinces and give an account, Chair, in terms of what the monies were spent, what it purchased, and then actual delivery versus projected. And of importance is that the Eastern Cape, they targeted 22,834 units and stands, and they managed to deliver 22,376. So they missed their target by 458, which we think is commendable. The concern in the Eastern Cape was the substantial amount of money that still needs to be paid in terms of accruals. Then the Free State, Chair, you'll see that the Free State, and I think this is one of the issues that we'll pick up, Chair, is that the provinces have projected. So on the slide on the top right hand, the red portion speaks about the target. So the Free State set itself a target of 12,475. It only managed to deliver 6,738. So it missed its target by 5,737. Gauteng, they projected 34,961. They managed 23,013. and their deficit is 11,948. Jen, I think the commendable province, particularly in relation to this, given the budget together with the deficit as well as the gain, is KZN. So KZN committed to 30,423. They managed to deliver 28,931. And their deficit year was 1,492. Which in the context of the numbers, Chair, I think is a commendable figure, Chair. Given the fact that there's a substantial amount of urban centers in there. And I think the way that they manage their cash flow and they squeeze out, I know there's a substantial amount of criticism against the province, but as the HOD said, their responsibility is to households and to make sure that they get the value for money. Limpopo, Chair, you'll see Limpopo also did substantially well, and I think the reason here was that one of the things that did come up was that they focused a bit more on the delivery of service stands. So that's what picked up their figures, but I think it's also again commendable that they were able to reprioritize and ensure that that occurred. Mpumalanga, Chair, just again, we're in the process of looking at what went wrong in Mpumalanga, because it was for a substantial amount of period a very good performance. Province, but this year they didn't do all that well. So the DG has requested that we undertake a process. The Northern Cape, Chair, again commendable in terms of their performance against their targets, and that gives an indication. The Northwest, again, Chair, and I just to indicate the 200 million that was underspent has been committed, so we're hoping that can change. But again, a province that we've put on the watch list, they were performing, and then there was. So I think it's just important to note that in some instances, due to personnel changes as well, it has impacted on some of the provinces. The Western Cape, again, quite a good performance, and their delivery matches their what they projected. Chair, then, as previously requested, we do give the portfolio what the grant buys other than services and houses. So this is the extended discount benefit scheme, rectification, the OPSCAP, the land that's purchased, then additional amounts in terms of eradication of the title deeds and the disaster relief fund. Chair, then on slide 32, the FLIS, and we've highlighted the sale of poor performing program, rectification. These are the remnants, Chair, in relation to what was there, particularly the Eastern Cape and KZN. And in the case of KZN, Chair, I think it's just important to note that these are the R293 towns in terms of the rectification. So these get allocated and counted towards the units, given the fact that they're not rectification of rectification, if I may say that. Then the OPSCAP, Chair, this is the amount that we provide or the department allows in terms of the program for each of the provinces to deduct out of the subsidy and utilize for program and project management. So it's the 5%, so of the 18 billion, that's the 910. Disaster relief, and these are in terms of disaster relief. The mining towns, Chair, and this just gives an indication of what the mining towns, the allocations in terms of the business plan, in terms of the presidential intervention. Chair, then we come to the USDG performance, Chair, and this is on slide 39. Chair, you'll see that in relation to the USDG, there's some areas of concern, and we'll just indicate that. Chair, as at the end of March, and I think receiving this is the end of March. This is what sits. Buffalo City, unspent, they've got 30%. Nelson Mandela, almost 50%. Mangaung, 30%. Ekurhuleni, almost 60% of their funding was unspent. And then Johannesburg, 45%. City of Tshwane, 35%. Itekwini, 54%. And the city of Cape Town, 49%. Chair, just to indicate, I mean, the area that the ones where we will come back to you and indicate where we've experienced problems has been Nelson Mandela. So Nelson Mandela traditionally performed well, but there's been a slippage. So, and the reason we're saying this is 50%. They've got to spend 50% of their money in 3 months. That's the effect. So if you calculate from so then Nelson Mandela's got to spend 50%. Mangaung, 30% of their funding needs to be spent in the next 3 months. In the case of Ekurhuleni, it's 60%. City of Joburg, 50%. City of Tshwane, 35%. Itekwini, 55%. And then the city of Cape Town, 50%. Chair, I think it's just important to note, when we say an express concern, so in the case of Buffalo City, 30% of 30% represents 221 million, which is doable from our analysis. The problems is that when you go to a city like city of Joburg, which has got 45%, it's 853 million to be spent in 3 months. And our concern traditionally has been, when you've got to spend that amount of money, we've got to be very careful about dumping, and we've got to be very careful about the value for money. In the case of Itekwini, it was a billion. In the case of Ekurhuleni, it's a billion as well. However, we've gone back to these municipalities, and they've confirmed. So in the case of Ekurhuleni, they came back to us and they said they'll spend 95%. Itekwini, Chair, we've done an analysis, and we know that they took a bit of time to get their systems in place. There were some roadblocks in relation to procurement issues, but they have resolved that. I think of concern, based on previous experience, was the city of Joburg and the city of Cape Town. And the reason we raised the city of Cape Town is because the city of Cape Town has had this traditional habit of having large purchases of land in the last month, which was never in the USDG policy or in the USDG plan. And the same thing with Johannesburg. I mean, we've requested a discussion with the city of Joburg, and I think they will have to be some resolution of how we take that money. But it's not getting spent in the way that we think it should be. Chair, this just gives you an indication of consolidated allocations, and that's on slide 41. What each of the metros have spent their or allocated their 11 billion in terms of USDG. We give an indication, you'll see, Chair, in relation to each of the municipalities. Buffalo City, we give an indication of what they're spending on human settlements, roads and stormwater, transport, water, sanitation, electricity, wastewater, social amenities, and then project management. And it's on the basis of this analysis, Chair, that we've done and make some of those findings. Ekurhuleni, City of Joburg. So you'll see City of Joburg, Chair. The allocation is 1.8. They've only spent $1.1 billion. There's another 853, and there's a substantial amount of work still there. City of Tshwane, Tekwini, and then the city of Cape Town. Okay, then we've just given you on slide 50 an overall performance. In relation to that, we've analyzed the overall reported expenditure by provinces on the HSCG is 98%. Eastern Cape and Western Cape provinces reported full expenditure. Of the total of 353 in relation to the HSDG, the biggest province contributed to that 353 is the 200 million by the Northwest. We have and said we will support the unspent funds to be rolled over in terms of Section 22 of the DORA, and the CFO has effected that. So we've supported that. Provinces reported a total delivery expenditure, so it's 83% of what was projected. So there's a 17% underperformance, particularly in relation to houses and units. Chair, and then we make the submission that the National Department did not meet its annual target of 175,378 housing opportunities, and particularly, Chair, was as a result of the underperformance in Gauteng, Free State, as well as the Northwest. We've included this bullet point, Chair, and three provinces have reported a joint 2016-17 accrued amount of 896. So this is the total amount outstanding to contractors. Eastern Cape 450, Gauteng with 278, and the Free State with 168 million. The last bullet point, Chair, at the time that the presentation was made, the business plans of the Eastern Cape, Gauteng, and Free State provinces were pending, but the DG has subsequently approved that with strict conditions. And then we transferred the payments out between the 25th and the 8th of May. Chair, and then the recommendations we're asking for you to note. Thanks, Chair. I don't know if colleagues, William, if you want to comment on the military veterans and then Lucy on the USDG. Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members of the committee. I must state here, Chair, that the Minister also appointed the task team to assist in the delivery of this program. As we stand now, we've got all provinces confirming that the list approved in their areas is being attended to for allocation, and we are going to host a national review session on this particular program next month, where we'll take stock as to whether all the approved beneficiaries are able to be allocated either a house or where they live, a stand and a budget for their construction of their unit. So we are confident this time around, Chairperson, that we've got the capacity to deliver on this target. And we're working very hard with the DMV to sift through their database of 71,000 for other non-statutory members or members that are due for a benefit on a house, and we'll come back with what is the outcome of it, I think by September. Thank you very much, Jim.
Any other additions?
Good morning, Chair. Firstly, I'd like to apologize for there's an error on slide 34 on the offset. It shows that there are units under KZN. That is an error. Offset doesn't produce any units, no services and sites. I really apologize for that. To the members of the committee regarding the USDG, The team is out now that doing the project level monitoring for the next, yesterday and today and tomorrow, that busy with the city of Joburg. What we are trying to establish is for the unspent amount, we need to make sure that it is committed. Because from last year, National Treasury is subjecting the metros on the rollover processes. So before the rollover is approved, they need to ensure that the money that is unspent is committed. So what we are doing now is to make sure that we don't want the money, the USDG unspent funds, to revert back to the revenue fund. So what we are doing the project. This is, we're sitting down with all the metros. We are looking at the commitments so that if there is unspent amount, it must be committed to certain projects. And if not, what the team is doing is to look at the slow-moving projects, and we are looking at the fast-moving projects. And we are saying, maybe we can shift funds so that we don't lose money into the back to the fiscal, to the revenue fund.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, officials. That's the report, and I think, let me acknowledge that we, in this meeting today, we are joined by officials from SALGA, the executive director for municipal finance, Mr. Simpiwe Tsengwa is here, and Mr. Sonwabe Sibhakwe is also here, which for me is very encouraging. Particularly, I'm hoping they are observing closely the spending patterns of the metro on the USDG grant, which is a bit of a concern. So I'm hoping that they are noting that. Having said that, I'm now opening the meeting for comments and questions from the honorable members. I see Honorable Nkadimeng has got her hand up, followed by Honorable Bam, followed by Honorable Malatsi, followed by Honorable Memezi, and then followed by Honorable Nganga Tsabashi. I'm sitting on the side, but you can see my sight is very sharp, because I didn't want to obscure the slide there, so that's why I'm sitting on the side. Pardon me. Okay, so let's start. You can make your own comments and questions and everything at the same time, whatever you wanna do. Honorable Nkadimeng.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me thank the department for the work that they are doing and their presentation. It's more especially in terms of the eradication of the backlog of the health days, which is a burning issue. I just want to say you can do more about this. This is a serious problem. And the people really are standing there waiting for this title deed. Some of them are so old that they will even pass on without them. My question is, in terms of the provinces that are underperforming, what are the consequence management plans regarding those provinces? Because we cannot sit here and really just listen that these provinces are underperforming. What are we doing about them? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nkadimeng. Honorable Bam.
Thank you for the presentation. About the title deeds, I was also going to urge the department to fast track. Now I'm coming to my other question. When you talk of banks and money, it excites the whole nation, especially after the launch of the bank on Friday, which was successful anyway. People now are beginning to be excited and wanting to find out when this bank is going to operate is it with immediate effect, or are they going to be waiting again for another a presentation before they access the money? Now, the second thing is the reason for the underperformance of these provinces, Northwest, Gauteng, and Limpopo. Have they been ferreted? What is it that makes them to underperform in terms of the development grant? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Bam, Honorable Stoli Malatsi.
Thanks, Chair. I think my question is just limited to the spending trends just on the metros and the provinces. In terms of accountability at the accounting officer's level, you know, there's obviously a recognition that, you know, because they are another sphere of government, there's that level of accountability at that sphere. But I mean, this is, you know, there's a lot of creative budgeting and spending when it comes to the last remaining periods of any financial year, you know, and I think many of these metros and provinces have also mastered just the art of compliance spending, which is that, you know, towards the remaining days, as you correctly pointed out, there is compliance purposes for making sure that the resources in their coffers are spent. But throughout a 9-month period leading up to the completion of that financial year term, the spending trends are so sporadic. So in terms of your engagements with both provinces or whatever internal process that at national level is driving, you know, what more can be done robustly, you know, to close that gap so that we don't have an instance of just creative budgeting and spending that does not correlate with targeted with targets that were set for the financial year, so that we don't have a skewed picture. The rollovers were done, and yes, it's all well and done when they are, but it actually doesn't match their initial performance targets. And lastly, the same also applies with title deeds. You know, I think four presentations or three presentations ago, one of the issues that was stated was the issue of lack of, you know, sufficient administrative capacity in provinces in doing the implementation of this program. And I see now that there's, you know, task teams have been set. But to which level are those inclusive of the implementing agencies in those provinces? Because ultimately those provinces have to execute that. Is it going to be entirely driven from national perspective, or is national just playing a role of ensuring that there is a regular accountability to determine where there are gaps and when those can be closed quickly, so that, you know, we don't necessarily just set up structures but do not drive outcomes, which is the key thing in here. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you very much, Honorable Stoli. Honorable Mimis.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. If I can join my colleague that appreciated the well-presented report, what is always encouraging is when officials also own up, even in terms of the weaknesses. I think as a committee, we appreciate that, never. You don't try to hide, you highlight. So it really encourages us. It makes us to even withdraw the guns that we're already getting ready to shoot. Because you are owning up. You see. So you are also saying you didn't meet your target of 175,378. So would need to be more assured that we'll still ensure that we are correcting this, so that towards the end of our term, there's no talk of us having not achieved the total target for the term. So clear corrective measures towards the end. So we must correct it now, because otherwise we won't have time. In 2019. the issue of that is, I think my colleagues have already spoken on it. I think it's something that we must ensure that you are aware that we are not very happy, that there's always some corrections, some rearrangements, you see. So you keep us, but iguala, lilola umkhonto walo lingaqedi, which means a keyword keeps on sharpening is he as a guy, is it? But the war continues. You continue getting ready. So we're missing time as you rearrange it. But we ensure, please ensure that we don't lose the time as you continue changing. I know the changes are for better, that I know they assist even those that want to do wrong things. So we appreciate the report even on the that it is, but we still think you can do better. Correct all the areas, but don't correct it forever. Even from the title deeds office, correct, but not forever. The informal settlement program, I think you really need to be saluted for this program, because it's visible against the odds where everybody want to go to urban areas. So, but the program of the department creating new towns where there was none, I think it is there for all South Africans to see. In fact, even other countries, I'm told now, they are beginning to say they want to learn from South Africa. So I think we must appreciate the work that you are doing in eradicating informal settlement, in spite of the fact that they keep on increasing. So we must thank you as the committee. Military veterans, we are happy you now have a clear number so that at least this program can be closed, and we can now take even tourists. You know, when you visit America, Washington, whether you go to Houghton, all the big cities, you will be shown the military veterans' big houses there. So we must also be proud of those comrades who fought for this country. Otherwise, people will think everybody fought for this country. Not everybody fought for this country. There were those who fought. There were those who were harassing us. So I think those things must be said. So military veterans should be really, you must be reporting them with proud, sense of proud. Because these are your people who protected you to be in these offices. We must be proud of it. One area that we must also improve, the payments within 30 days, HTA, is something that you must look into, because your department is now a big supervisor and also a big actor. So just ensure that people are not kept, next week, and then next month, and then next month forever. So if we can move, keep on moving on the 30 days pay payments. Pay people quicker. Don't promise forever. We're quite happy. Your HR plan, I think you promised. You now telling us you have delivered. So because you know this portfolio committee was always very clear from day one in terms of filling the vacancies. So because our people need employment, so you can't be the department that does not want to employ. So we appreciate. I think, Chairperson, I thought sometimes we forget to highlight good achievement by the department. I think the officials, they need that. Northern Cape, you may be from a small province. We must appreciate when you are doing a good job, in spite of the size of your province. But we appreciate them. We know your problems of a vast area with a small number of people. But out of that, you must then indeed do as you are doing, because the numbers are small. You are almost smaller even than a smaller township in Soweto. So I think you are doing well. You are doing well. We are quite happy. Flips, I think you need to check it up. You need. Did I pronounce it?
Nice.
Okay. So at this has understood it very well. So if it can be back up, the need, we are happy you have also isolated it as an area that needs to be improved. So do improve. We think middle-class people, teachers, nurses, police, in all provinces, even the rural provinces. So this is a problem that must be seen moving. So I think we happy you are saying. Just to be sure, in provinces that didn't improve, and then they like in Northwest, because they have, in fact, committed this project, and in fact, I was inquiring about this. They also assured me that they've committed. Now, what is the situation in those areas where they've committed? Do you ensure that the commitment is moving so that they avoid the rolling over of funds? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Honorable Mganga Qabashe.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start by appreciating the presentation by the department, and then fund upload those provinces and metros through the national department that have performed well. And saying upfront, Chairperson, that maybe what is being noted and requested of us to note in terms of the report on the last quarter of 2016-2017 financial year being not finally audited. Maybe we need to ask our committee personnel to revisit that, and next time, maybe in the next next year, we consider that, so that whenever we discuss these reports, we discuss them on the basis that they've been audited. And then between you, Chair, and the department, I think you'll look at the time that will allow us to do that. Having said that, Chairperson, let me come back to the underperformance of the title deed on the eradication of the title deed program. I think it's important for us to note that the provinces or the metros that are seen to be leading, one, that there are two factors on them. One, if the metro is not focusing on the eradication of informal settlement, or they were not focusing on that, so it's easy to issue title deed, because there is no backlog of cleaning the town planning processes that were not adhered to when we're dealing with the real RDP houses at the time, when there were no norms and standards. It will still have to go back to. And the metro that has been dealing with that, it means they are able to move forward that, because they have spent a lot of time in cleaning those town planning issues. I'm saying this out of experience, so I understand the difficulty that the municipalities, the metros, they have to deal with when they deal with cleaning up, attending to, sorting out town planning issues. But I don't support the metro or metros that they don't focus on the informal settlement upgrade, and then they only shine on the only for formal townships. I'm saying that because if you want to deal with eradication of title deeds, first you have to sort out your township establishment. And in sorting out your township establishment, you have to deal with the rezoning of that particular area that was being developed to be a township, and you have to deal with all those, and then some of the implementing agency that were employed at that time are no longer, some are under and some left without submitting proper documentation. We have to start afresh and hire the professionals are no longer there. They did not support because there were no norms and standards. Even the provinces were not really proper departments. They were run by certain boards. I can't remember what they were called. Housing boards. So there is a lot that you have to clean out before, and I want us to appreciate that, and when we appreciate that, the department must go back to the drawing board and really look at the targets and revise their targets, because otherwise we'll keep on coming here that you are unable to meet the target. But having said that, I appreciate the intervention that is being done by National Department in terms of having teams that assemble to assist the provinces in that regard. But I just want us to appreciate all those there, because the conveyors as well that were employed by Metros, if they are only external conveyors, there is no dedicated team within the municipality to monitor and, if you like, policing those conveyances by provinces as well. It means they would just perform in their own pace because they were not being monitored by qualified internal personnel within the province and the metros or the municipalities. My second point, Chairperson, is in terms of coming back to the spending in the last quarter, or the provinces, the Northwest, that underspent by 200 million. I think we should support the proposal by the department to request the National Treasury to give them the rollover in relation to the DORA section of section 22 of the DORA. And I think we should do that, but encourage the Northwest's future, because even if that is being done, the National Treasury is not going to allow them to roll over the entire 200 million. There are still some funds that remain as unspent. So I think we should assist them that in future they are able to spend the money. And then I'm just joining my colleagues in terms of Mpumalanga, and I think the National Department will focus, go back and focus, because Mpumalanga used to perform better, and there is something wrong happening there, and the intervention by the must focus on that, and also appreciate the work done by Eastern Cape and KZN for doing it in that regard. But having said that, Chairperson, the cash flow in the Eastern Cape seems to be keep on cropping up as a problem. And the paying of contractors within the 30 days and that always they have high value of claims that are not paid within the 30 days, and that doesn't sit well with us, with the Eastern Cape. And I think we've been raising this, and we had the entire department had to assemble to Nelson Mandela last financial year, the previous financial year, to try and resolve the issue. And they seem to be really not coming out as we expect them to come out of that. But as has been said by my colleague here, Honorable Memezi, that crippled our contractors, because they ran out of cash flows. They create higher debts among the company, and then the last thing they go under. They're finished. and the, our economy then gets crippled through that, because the other layer of the economy of the country is not really performing well, or is no longer functioning in the manner that it should perform. So it affects the entire country's economy. And those people come back to depend on the government, their families. Chairperson, on the USDG, we really want to see the USDG grants performing and telling us how many service sites that have been allocated and the way that we have spent money as is required by the USDG. And we note that really Cape Town is still not performing as it should, and together with Johannesburg. But at some stage, really, I think we need to meet with Cape Town Metro. And I think in the last financial year we did check, but maybe the National Department can tell us how far have they gone in dealing with that. And also, and stop, we've seen on the news that the minister now is intervening in terms of towards the end of the year, and the city is buying a huge piece of land using the USDG grant that is not covered in our USDG policy. And I think we'll monitor that closely. But having said that, Chairperson, I think what the National Department has to closely monitor is what we said. We have been saying that from experience as well, the municipality will release at the first quarter and the second quarter. And they will start spending money during the third quarter and the fourth quarter. And then that as a result, they are unable to spend at the last quarter of their financial year, which is end of June. And that impacts negatively on the provinces, and the provinces impact negatively on the National Department. And I think our monitoring should be to make sure that we train them to spend money, the 25% of their budget each quarter, starting from the first quarter. The province as well must spend, if they have a target, to making sure that they spend 25% during the first quarter, and by second quarter they spend another 25, which is half of the budget, 50%. They won't go wrong. As long as they continue with this traditional practice, we'll still have the problem that we are having. And also plan properly. And then we have been planning all these years. Now we should be running with the implementation. There shouldn't be now a problem in terms of the... Coming to military veteran, I just want to raise on the issue that of the verification the verification of the non-statutory numbers that they fluctuate. The people that are already having bonds with mortgage bonds with the banks. And I think, Chairperson, we should propose that the National Department must look at that and see whether it is not practically possible to apply the variance option. But it can be open-ended to people who bought properties of million rand or even over, because that cannot be acceptable. But only on within the norms and standards of the National Treasurer, if it could just be allowed, as it is being allowed on our other programs within the municipality. And then I think Chairperson, let me in terms of the last one, in terms of the informal settlement upgrade. Although I talked about informal settlement when I was dealing with the title, but now generally in terms of the informal settlement, I think that's the area where we need to call the metros and deal with that. Two items, in fact three, we deal with informal settlements. with the eradication of child disease for USDG and last one, the FLISP, in terms of their weaker performance, and appreciate the Northern Cape improvement. It is not Northern Cape in future.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member Salas, and all Honorable Members. Thank you, Department, for this presentation. And I think let's start by appreciating and congratulating in Northern Cape, as already other members have done, on good performance and meeting their targets. And by that, we are hoping that we are not going to drop the ball in the next financial year. You keep on keeping on and making sure that you become the best, as you have done in this financial year. But I do want to raise the point of Gauteng. And if you listen to the report and look at the report, Gauteng is becoming a common denominator in all poor performance. If you look at the slide on the USDG spending, metros that are in Gauteng are all there in terms of poor spending. If you look at the slide 36 on mining towns, you can go to slide 36 on mining towns. Let's look there. All the towns of Gauteng, there is zero performance on the mining town, and it's a serious concern. If you look at the provinces that have got accruals, which are three, Free State, Eastern Cape, Gauteng is number three. Gauteng doesn't like to be left behind. In all the bad things, Gauteng is there. And you will all agree with me then that the fact that the National Department has not reached its target, because they've managed 50% of their target, the big contributor on that is Gauteng. If Gauteng had done well in some of its work, the targets for the National Department would have improved drastically. And therefore, I do think that the Portfolio Committee needs to keep a close eye on Gauteng. And at some point, we will have to have an interaction with Gauteng. We had seen these red flags in the last year, and we had been monitoring them closely. Yes, compared to the last year, there is slight improvement, but they are not out of the woods. And therefore, it's something that we must monitor very closely. On the issue of the program, DDG Neville on delivery support, which has achieved 69%, close to 70% of its performance. One is worried about that program. What worries us about that program is because NASP is within that program. And NASP deals with informal settlements. And therefore, if this program is not doing well, it affects what the work that you are doing on informal settlements. I do want to hear from the officials what systems have they put in place, therefore, to make sure that there is improved performance on this program. When you look at the other programs, all of them, they are above 80%, they are 93%, 95%, but this one is sitting at 69.7%. So for me, that's becoming a bit of a concern. We can't keep quiet and not comment on the fact that Gauteng had target of 34,000 units
that they wanted to build, and they have only achieved 23,000. We can't keep quiet on that. Because even though other provinces have also not achieved this target, but this by far is the biggest underperformance. And it's something that we are worried about. And maybe we need to hear from the department how are they interacting with Gauteng and making sure that there's systems in place and improvement. I just want to have an understanding if there has been that interaction and concerns raised around Gauteng's performance. Already, honourable members have raised their concern around the issue of status deeds. I'm not going to dwell on that. My only big issue here is the fact that the new subsidy houses we seem to have gone down. Remember, we have always been saying, at least in this area, we should be talking about the pre-1994 stock. But in terms of the new subsidy houses, there shouldn't be a backlog as big as the one that we see now. Because we should try and make sure that as we finish, we give title deeds. What are the challenges? Because if you look at the report, you talk about 69,000, 75,000 title deeds that you've managed to issue, as against the number of houses that you've built. And I think we need to understand what is the big problem there. Understanding the challenges of the whole issue of the title deeds and the fact that you've also raised it up front, that it is underperforming. I think my big question is on the new subsidies. What is the problem? And the military veterans, thank you very much that at least now you've got a verified number. But can we get a commitment or an assurance that says, or maybe we've been told as this committee, when are you going now to reach this target? When are you going to get finished with this? Remember, we're raising the question because every time that you come to us to present, this is becoming one of your soft targets that you think you will do it and be finished within a specified time. But it seems to be creeping in, year in and year out. We had promised that this, because it's a small number, we could be done with it in a financial year. But we are sitting on the second, third year still receiving this report. At least now, you've got a verified number. When then can we be told that this is going to be cleared once and for all? I think that's what we need to hear. So that at least we get out of here knowing that there is a target. That at least by the time we come back, we are able to say, this has been done 100% finished, down and out. I do not want to hammer HDA because I think at some point we'll talk. I do know that at some point you were a project manager for these mining houses, for these mining towns in Gauteng. So in a way, their underperformance therefore affects how HDA performs in Gauteng. And I think at some point when we interact with HDA, we need to understand what are the challenges, what problems are you experiencing around that area, which makes it difficult for these areas not to perform. Because somehow, the underperformance of Gauteng, 30% of the blame must be shouldered by HDA, because HDA has got footprints in Gauteng. So therefore, if there is no performance in Gauteng, we will look at HDA and say, it means we are not assisting Gauteng as much as you should be assisting. And I just thought, the report overall, we're quite happy, but obviously, we're not very happy with Gauteng's performance. Gauteng's performance for me is a big problem.
And the fact that at least Honorable Ngcobashe raised this and other members raised this, the fact that the 30-day payment for provinces like Eastern Cape and Free State in particular, which have got approvals, we need to hear how the department mitigates that, because the problems of the provinces shouldn't be the problems of the contractors. How are we dealing with that data so that it doesn't become a burden of the contractors that we've got provinces that have got accruals? Thank you very much. If we can maybe hear from the department official.
Thanks. Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think the difficulty that we have as the National Department is, I think what we need to be able to indicate, and I'll come back to it, is there sufficient reason to, from the provinces and the municipalities, to justify poor performance? And I think I just need to indicate, I'm not quite sure as the National Department if we're in a position to fully answer that question and honestly answer it. I think given the fact that you're sitting particularly at the National Department with a situation where you've got an experience where in certain instances we're not quite sure what are the underlying factors, and I think we need to come back to you with a concrete response, but we can venture some of those and I'll give you some of that. Chair, in relation to the title deeds, I mean, I think the point by Member Nkadimeng, the department can do more. Yes, Chair, I think one of the issues is that we can do more on the title deeds. And what are the consequence management plans? I think, Chair, one of the things that we've indicated is ministers pointed this ministerial task team out of frustration that we've, and I think it's a shared frustration with yourself, that we keep on saying these things and nothing happens. Who oversees the conveyances? Who provides the dispute resolution mechanisms? I mean, I don't think any one of us can say that there isn't sufficient money. So I think this task team does an important thing, is that it gives us the added ability to be able to make certain interventions, particularly in relation to poor performance. Because one of the things that the DGs indicated is that in all of the programs, including this, there's been poor contract management. So because there's been poor contract management, you find a situation where in the value chain, you've got to be able to deliver a title deed that hasn't happened. The person's now gone off, and there's no one to be held accountable in relation to this. To chase someone for non-issuing of title. So I think this is a progressive intervention that we want to take as the national sphere. Because what we need to be able to be clear about is we've got to be able to respect those inter-spherical rights and responsibilities. And I think the next question that we'll come back to you is we're going to have to look at an appropriation that gives the National Department the ability to appoint and take over this program. That's the consequence of what. But I think we've got to be able to demonstrate that we've given provinces that opportunity, and the consequence of that is a change in relation to DORA and taking this and making this a Schedule 6 grant. Because that's the measure of last resort. And I think within Parliament, I think we need to be able to prime ourselves to be able to say there will be that fundamental monetary and fiscal change. And then, in relation to Member Bum, the bank and the money, I think that we've indicated that the launch is the operational integration of that of the three entities is complete. So it's not as if their doors are not open. So operationally they integrated. The only thing that's outstanding is the legislative underpinning of the bank. What we will be doing is looking at the way in which we recapitalize it. So what we I mean, I think if you look at those three entities, What those three entities haven't been able to do is because their balance sheets were separate, one of the things was they couldn't leverage money better. But I think it would be wrong for us to say that they haven't been doing anything. The NHFC, as we said, funds up to 70% of all our social housing top-up finance. What this does is that it allows us to be able to do that better. The first, together with the government employees housing scheme. So it is in operation, and I think we can clearly indicate that it's not waiting, or there's no other report member bum that will come back and say that. The Northwest Free State in Gauteng, the reasons for non-performance, Chair, I don't know if I can honestly sit here and make excuses for them. But I can tell you, for example, in relation to the Northwest, in relation to Mpumalanga, one of the things that we can demonstrate is that there's been a change of personnel. So the entire HOD chief director level at that has changed. So in Mpumalanga, the chief director level, there's been an entirely new group of individuals that have come. And Chair, I must indicate that has impacted. It has definitely impacted on it. I think we'll be... The Gauteng as well. I mean, a contributory factor in relation to Gauteng has been the inability for it to be able to retain those measures of stability. I mean, I think it would be wrong for us to say... I mean, Gauteng has had, what, 4 HODs, Pascal, in the last 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we must be able to say that these things don't impact. They do. Within the metros, I don't think we must shy away from the fact that the changes have impacted on it. You know, to the extent where we're having to reschool people in certain things. So the city of Joburg, we're having to go back to the city of Joburg and point out to the politicians, you don't have to go and redo the entire process because you have a strategy, you have a plan. I think it's in relation to that. So those are issues about non-performance. Non-compliance. In the Free State, we know that there's a substantial amount of non-compliance in relation to the minimum norms and standards. You're spending too much. That's also a consequence in Gauteng. What have we done? Ministers issued the directive in relation to the title deed. There will be no title deed issued if the NHBRC has not approved the fact that house is complete and there's a title deed. So there will be no completion certificate issued by the NHBRC. And I think that's one of the consequences of what has been there. The creative budgeting and spending, Member Malachi, I think this is exactly one of the things that the CFO and the team are doing. We're going and we're making sure that, and I think it's a frustration, and I think it's something that you've asked us to do, that ministers asked us to do. We go and we sometimes get involved in operations. Because when I say we get involved in the operations, is we ask questions. And sometimes those questions come. Why is a tender taking 3 months? Why are monies being shifted from one project to another? I think you'll notice, and I think it's something that politically we have to be able to be at one that says that when there's an incorrect thing done, we must all walk in the direction, and it's not any one particular metro that's doing it. It's across the board in terms of the way that the USDG is being spent. I think the informal settlements program. I mean, an important thing occurred last week in Minister's budget speech was around the question of the service stands, and I think it's an important shift that allows the provinces to reprioritize because one of the things that came out of one of the positive things about all these protests is communities are saying, we understand you have these problems, just give us land, service the land, give it to us, and we'll be able to do that. I think we've responded. Ministers indicated that as part of the south of Joburg, we must look at that process between ourselves, the province and the municipalities, and there's two pieces of land where we will undertake that process. So the informal settlement upgrading process will take place. So I think it's Innerdale and that. The military veterans, I think, I mean, subject to confirmation, I mean, I think we've committed that we will complete that 1421 during this financial year.
Can you repeat that?
I'm sorry.
I want to make sure that I hear.
No, that's correct, Chairperson. We just one province that we're working hard to get it moving. That's one province. It's not been moving for 3 years, so we're still concerned with it. That's all.
Are you confirming that? I didn't hear you confirming what.
I confirm what Neville said.
So, Chair, no. But I think, irrespective of that, I think what we've done is that we've made the commitment that we will fix it. I mean, I think in the KZN issue, it's about occupation and who benefits. But I think we've got the list, so, and I think we've commented on that. Chair, on the point about Member Mersey and on the FLIS, Chair, I think we'll come back to you next week with that government employer scheme because it'll give you an indication of how we will move money, because we've agreed that we will ring fence funding for FLIS, which will then be managed by the NHFC. And the provinces have said that they're not happy with that. But the reason is that we can then start funding those public servants within government employees housing scheme, because there's a substantial amount of them that have already saved. And I think the mechanisms of how that will be explained by Mr. Leshabani. Then the whip, Chair, I think, the title deeds, Chair, I think from where we sit, I don't think enough has been done, we agree, from our side. And I think the whip has indicated, Chair, that the town planning processes have been a major hurdle. The approvals, the township establishment, the blockages, because one of the things is that between the province and the municipality, the municipality waits for comments and those kind of things. But I think where we ask, where I think the frustration is, and the DG was here, you expressed this frustration, is it's unclear why officials don't follow up on these things. So I don't want us to make excuses that because we've got a township established process, we can say the township establishment process is long, therefore we can say that title deeds have been delayed. I think if things had been done properly, it would be. But the one big issue on the title deeds, and I think this is why Minister's intervention is so important, is the issue around disputes. We've done an analysis, and 30% of some of the blockage in issuing of title deeds is disputes. And those disputes are the following. We've got inter-family disputes, you've got intergenerational disputes, and then one of the big issues, and I think we've highlighted this, is where, for example, a subsidy has been approved, and between the approval of the subsidy and the issuing of the title deed, the main beneficiary passes on, and we've calculated that's about 15% of where the backlog lies. Now, what happens is that you've got to go and open an estate, and there's transfer issues, and that's why I think why this advisory panel, one of the things we've asked him to focus on is particularly intertestate registration and title deeds, because I think sometimes what we don't want to wear. But notwithstanding that fact, in the process, there's a substantial amount of harm that happens. People get transferred, people get evicted illegally out of it, and there's a substantial amount of that that's occurring. On the Northwest, Chair, on the Northwest, we have, I mean, the HDA is in the process of assisting the Northwest in relation to that. But as I've indicated, the big issue in the Northwest has been, there's been a new HOD. We've had four different MECs in the last 3 years. I think, irrespective of whether what you want to say, it impacts. And it's not on the people themselves or their inability or their competence, but it's just that sometimes it takes time to sort that out. The cash flow management of the Eastern Cape, the DG together with the Eastern Cape HOD has agreed that there will be no new projects until that 400 million, because they started off this financial year with a 400 million rand accrual. So we've indicated, I think, by the end of May, they must clean that backlog, and we can come back to you, Chair, on that one. Chair, then just a couple. The monitoring of expenditure by the Metropolitan, Chair, we have improved. I think if you look at what's happened in Ekurhuleni, we've deployed people into that metro, and there's been improvement in the quality. Chair, just on the delivery support on the under expenditure in that program, Chair. Just to indicate, Mr. Lishabane has been appointed, so we now have a full-time DDG. And I think we're quite confident that the process has turned around. So you'll see, even the NUSP, there's a huge amount of change in relation to the provincial steering committees that are there. I've indicated a minister has issued the directive in relation to the NHBRC in relation to the title deeds. Chair, I'm not sure. I'm hoping that I've covered everything. I don't know, Lucy, Pascal, if I've left anything out. William?
Yeah. In terms of the questions raised by the Chair, I think you've covered all, because one of the things that Chair raises, the problems of housing more than anything. I think, correct, Chairperson, it's an area of concern to the department as well. I think we're spending too much time in Gauteng right now, and the link to that is the fact that you wrote in HDA, and whether HDA is helping to resolve the problem, I think. But I'm sure it's in Pascal's hands to respond to that.
If I may just start with the Gauteng, the Chair. Let me just throw some few numbers. Remember that in our first intervention, we were given about 300 million. That was for the year ending 31st March. It was received around November 2015. And we had to commit it and make sure that it gets spent between 16 and 17 by the 31st of March. Last year, around September, we received an additional 400 million. We had up to the 31st of March to commit that 400 million. Now, so what we have to spend in 1 year, at least, was 423 million. And I can say to you, Chair, that we've spent 352 of that 400 million, which translates to about 83.2% expenditure just for the 16-17 year. We have, just in terms of numbers, that gave us close to a target of close to 2,360 units. We have delivered 73% of those, 1,733, translating to 16 projects in total. We have delivered on 6. The number of projects and the number of units shouldn't confuse us, because we'd get one project yielding 1,000 units and another project 100 or so. We still have about 627 units outstanding. We're sitting with 568 units that are in progress, and we record the progress on our dashboard just in the same way as the department, showing foundations, wall plates, rooftops, and all that information. I thought maybe I should just put that in perspective. If you want, maybe we could give a perspective that Gauteng is the only second in the five provinces where we're directly responsible for either units or services as would be appointed by the different provinces. Out of the total target of 7,262, we have delivered 2,316 housing, and the next big one is, would be the Eastern Cape. And overall, I think for those five provinces, we now sitting at about 80.9% performance, and these numbers still have to be audited, etc. But in terms of HSS and what's reflected on the province's performance, this is in the level of our contribution. I thought maybe I should just put that first in perspective. Secondly, Chair, you raised the point about what's been done. I'm not sure whether it's in my place, Neville, but I thought maybe the DDG would, I mean, the CEO would mention the fact that there were certain conditions that were set or put to Gauteng's approval of their business plan. Two of them have to do with monitoring how they meet their targets, how they plan, put up their projects or programs together, and how that gets monitored. And I think the commitment that the DG has made is that they will put a joint operating center, which will assist the HOD of Gauteng to ensure that there's monitoring going forward. The MEC himself also has put up a what's called a departmental intervention task team with more or less the same aim. And I think the DG's intention and the HOD's intention would be to get those interventions and efforts together. I hope maybe the HOD and the DG at appropriate times will be able to give feedback on what's happening. We also raised the point about mining towns. Chair, I mean, that's one area I would say that we're not quite performing in terms of turning around our mining town transformation plans into programs and projects. I think up to now, the HDA, not just in Gauteng, has been largely been responsible for putting together their plans. And it's only now, I think, that we're gradually being nudged and whipped by the department to get more into the actual implementation of mining towns, not just in Gauteng, but also assist across the country. Eastern Cape, can I say this with confidence, that Zingapi, that as of last Friday, all the contractors were paid that are directly contracted to us, not in the Eastern Cape, have been paid. And we're planning to have an engagement with all the contractors by the 1st of June. And myself, the DG, and the HOD, and hopefully joined by the city manager there, will have a conversation with the contractors, apologize where we have to apologize for our poor performance in terms of meeting the 30-day requirement last year, but also start planning going forward on how we'll be managing our relationship with the contractors going forward. I thought those were the three broad areas, Chair, that you raised, or that were raised by other members as well, that relate to the HDA's performance against what the department is reporting. Thanks.
Chair, honorable members, there are certain points that I just needed to highlight. On the issue of title deeds and FLISP, what we did, we reversed money. We took money, we put it aside specifically to be used to this program. So what we did with the provinces, we have gazetted. So it's part of the 2017 bill. We have gazetted this money and we have communicated to the provinces that this money should specifically be used for the title deeds backlog and the first honorable movement. So we put money aside to look at the first, and we're just hoping that with the government employees housing scheme, we're going to see numbers on the 2017-18 financial year. Honorable Malachi, I need to comment on the issue of the hockey stick expenditure on the metros. We are aware of that. So what we did, we said on the grant framework, we said before the end of the second quarter, we gazetted it to say, metros who didn't spend 60% of the transferred funds will have the possibility of the future transfers being withheld and reallocated to the performing metros. Because we are aware that metros will sit, then they'll start spending March, April, May, June. The last three quarters, the last quarter of their financial year. So we had a meeting with National Treasury. We have gazetted that towards November we start looking at the performance of all the metros. If they didn't spend 60% of what we have transferred to them, we'll be able to say we are going to withhold the future transfers. We can reallocate to the performing metros. So we have put measures in place to look at this hockey stick expenditure at the end of the financial year. And even with the provinces, what we did the beginning of the 17th financial year when we were doing the business plans, we said to them, by September, if provinces are not spending, we're going to start that process. Because the Act allows us to start looking at the future transfers that we've made. And if there's no expenditure or any significant explanation of the under expenditure, the Act allows us to move funds, reallocate the funds from the performing, non-performing provinces to the PEC. So we have communicated to the provinces and the metros to say for the 17-18 financial year, we don't want to come end of the financial year and start having this non-expenditure amount that are lying there unspent. So we have communicated to them beginning of the financial year to say this is what we're going to do. And lastly, I think we have heard on the Minister Budget's board speech that she mentioned that there is an ombudsman within the human settlements. So all these problems regarding the 30 days, contractors now will be able to lay their complaints directly with the ombuds. So the 30 days issue will be dealt with from the national department side. So that office will be able to deal with all these issues regarding houses, non-payment of contractors, and all those issues. So the ombuds is already there, Mr. Mthethwa, so he will be dealing with all these challenges, all these complaints regarding the human settlements. Thanks.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, just the last point. I think the issue that I just need to indicate, I mean, I'm not sure when we come in for the USDG, but we'll be able to table that USDG policy because it is going to Cabinet, and I think it will give particularly members an important insight into what we want to do around changing that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. That's the last part is actually very comforting because we've been asking for that for some time and we've been waiting for this to come in. Thank you very much, officials, for that intense responses, and which hopefully will then translate to actual work being done around on this. That takes us to the end of the first item on the agenda, which is the first the fourth quarter. Thank you so much. Now, on the second item, which is the progress report on catalytic projects per municipality or province, we have had a request. Honourable members will realize that they don't have this presentation. It has not been forwarded because we have had a request from DG that this item must be withdrawn for now so that there's more work that must be done on the item, and therefore they will then advise us when it is ready for presentation. So that's why I've allowed you to go to town on the fourth quarter report without telling you that I'm withdrawing that item. So that item has been withdrawn, but I think it will come back very early because they had promised that a lot of work has been done. It's just few areas that needs to be tightened up, and then they will come back to present to us on that one. Just want that confirmation from to you, CEO, if you are aware of that. Because I got worried when I saw you walking in. I said, hey, I hope they didn't let you come here and not tell you that they have withdrawn this item.
No, Chair, I, as usual, I mean, the DDGs would know, and the CEO, that I always support the department. Chair, I think the issue is that we just need to get to a point where we have MINMEC minutes confirmed. You realize also at the launch of the bank, I spoke about 48, Minister talked about 46, etc., but it's just an administrative minuting of the the minister is pedantic. She wants to be able to say when she says 46 and it goes to cabinet, it comes to the portfolio committee, it should be supported by administrative. So that's the delay. It's not serious, but we really welcome the DG's and your suggestion to give us the indulgence that we asked for this to be postponed. Thanks.
Thank you very much. So that takes care of that item. So we then, I'm sure, if you behave and live quietly without disturbing the meetings, we will allow you. But if you don't, you will sit. We are just adopting the minutes, the 2 minutes. So you can sit. It's not a big 5 minutes and we will be done. Okay. The next item is just the adoption of the minutes. The first minutes are the minutes of the 28th of March. Zinga, people read, you are disturbing my minutes by meeting. So you better sit down. we'll be finished in 5 minutes. 28th of March is a meeting where we were interacting with the at the end. 28th of March meeting. The 28th of March meeting. No, but we have the 28th of March, which we withdrew in the last meeting, if you remember. Yeah, we withdrew in the last meeting because there were problems with they repeated the same entities, if you remember. Then we said we are withdrawing it so that it comes back. Sydney. So that's the meeting I'm talking about. Where we were dealing with SRA, NHPRC, AAB, and so on. We looked at these minutes. The only problem that we had to remember is they repeated the same entities. So we said they must go and correct. Yes. Honourable members?
Now, we remember, Chair, the discrepancies.
Yes.
It looked like it's now corrected. I move for adoption.
Thank you very much. Honourable Katime?
Yes, before the adoption, I think
you were not in the meeting. That's the meeting that took place on a Friday. Remember? Did you come? Oh, Mashasha Wahamba, but you were here. Yeah, she was here, but she left early. Remember? Please, can you correct that? No, I remember, Honorable Gatiman. You left early because you were flying out around 12, but you were there. Besides that, discrepancy. Can I get the second amendment of the minutes then with that amendment? Honorable Sergeant, you are seconding?
No,
I'm still on on March. I'm just saying, did you raise up this discrepancy and the second amendment?
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much. And then the minutes of the 9th of May, those are the minutes where we are just adopting the report of the committee for the budget vote. It was a nice, easy meeting. I thought you had your hand up.
No, I do. Sorry, on page 2, I just think, I mean, I can't make sense of that sentence, but I think something is missing in there. On 2.1, I'm not sure if I'm too ahead or what.
I'm sharing the meeting.
I'm just talking.
Are we doing it page by page or is it?
No, we were not doing it page by page, but you can raise the discrepancy,
okay. Yeah, there's a point there about the delays with the submission of the report
to the members. So I'm not sure what that sentence is to achieve. Since the chairperson indicated that delays were highest office in Parliament, it just seems like something is not correct in there as to the source of the delay.
Yes, because remember, this is the issue that was raised by Honorable Malas on the delay of reports that must be submitted to members. I don't understand what was that was saying now. The chairperson indicated that delays were highest office in Parliament. What was that all about? Can you correct that? Because it was about the delay of reports coming from the department that must be submitted to members in time for portfolio committee meetings. Yes. No, but then explain what you're saying.
The chairperson, the Honorable Malap is referring to the one that is from the Office of the House Chair. The report, well, the report has to be verified by the Office of the House Chair and the Chief. So the delay was from that office. That's what he's referring to in this one. They will correct
it. Yeah.
Just the Office of the House Chair. All right. Honorable Katime. Okay. Okay, MF, not FM. Please, man, I already. Please, man. Frequency. No, not frequency. with those corrections, can we then, Honorable Khurai? You move for the adoption. Any seconder? Thank you very much. With that being done, that takes us to the end of the meeting. The meeting next week, Tuesday, will be dealing with the FLISP. I hope you've realized that we've changed issues around. We were supposed to be dealing with Northern Cape, but we then moved it to say let's deal with FLISP and the GHS. So they will be presenting, the department will be presenting on those programs. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
I'm going to go to the hospital.